And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's good to be with you this week. This week, I'm coming to you from Marietta, Ohio, right here on the Ohio River, right next to West Virginia, having a great time at the Wagner Union Church here in Marietta, Ohio, with Pastor Gene Farrell and his wife, and it's great to be with them. I've been here since Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We've been teaching Bible prophecy. The Trio of Triplets, of course, you know, the first night that I did. The Trio of Triplets, if you've been listening to our program all along, you are very much aware of what our the basics to understanding Bible prophecy are, and using the Trio of Triplets, the three strands of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians, and then the three major prophetic books in God's Word, Daniel for the Gentiles, Ezekiel for the Jews, and Revelation for the Christians, and then, of course, the three remaining events on God's calendar, with the next event to happen would be the rapture of the church, and then the revelation or the return of Jesus Christ after the seven-year period of the tribulation, and then after the revelation of Christ and his return to the Mount of Olives, the 1,000-year period of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom that is to come, promised to the Jewish people, and then the great white throne judgment. And we've been here this week teaching, also looking at the four major trends of Bible prophecy. Last night, we looked at the Antichrist, this man to come, man of peace, the man on a white horse, talked about in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. As the man of peace comes on the scene, he confirms a peace treaty with Israel, as talked about in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27. Of course, that starts the tribulation period when that happens. And then we also looked at the alignment of nations, which refers, of course, to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the alignment of these nations as they're lining up, especially nowadays as we take a look at all those countries that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, along with Psalm 83 and Daniel chapter 11. If you look at these alignment of nations lining up, they're very much in the news today. In fact, just looking at our top 10 news stories that we send out each day. You can go to our website, take a look at those. But the top 10 news stories involving many of those nations that are aligning right now, where the Muslim Brotherhood is stepping into place in countries like Egypt, Libya, of course, what's taking place in Syria, also with Iran, all that's happening in the Mideast, and just how those nations are lining up to come against Israel. Of course, we feel that that's the man on the red horse, of course, being war depicting war, that war that's going to take place in is Ezekiel 38 and 39, with the pronouncement in Ezekiel 39 of what will happen to the Muslim world, where 5/6 of the Muslim world will be wiped out during this war that takes place of these aligning of nations that come against Israel. Of course, all of that is to happen after the rapture of the church. And man, as I take a look at it, as I am watching the news on a daily basis, I take a look at those things and I keep saying to myself, I talk to Dad. Dad, of course, we talk about it every weekend on his weekend radio program about everything that's taken place, how close that we are to this event of the rapture of the church. Of course, there are no more prophecies to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. God is basically holding the door open for people to come to him to a saving knowledge that he is their Messiah, that he takes away their sin, to repent of their sin, and to accept the salvation that Christ offers to them. And at a certain point, he's going to say to his son, go get your children, the bride of Christ, and that's when the rapture is going to take place. Tonight, I'll be taking a look at the city of Babylon. Dad just got done with a brand new series, the five most important cities in God's Word, especially for the future, in prophecy: Rome, Damascus, Babylon, Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem. And tonight I'll be taking a look at Babylon, the importance it plays, where it got its beginning all the way back in Genesis chapter 11, chapter 10 actually, in chapter 11, and then as it's played its major role through history, taking a look at Nebuchadnezzar and his role in Babylon and the capture, the taking of hostages from Jerusalem, specifically Daniel and Ezekiel, as he took them to Babylon, as he had taken all the Jews and the dispersion, and then as they came back from that, they were allowed to rebuild the temple. Of course, very prophetic. Daniel, we learn that Daniel begins with the Babylonian Empire and ends with the millennial kingdom. Ezekiel also. Ezekiel, the book for the Jewish people, begins with the Babylonian Empire and ends with the millennial kingdom. And then tonight I'll also be taking a look at everything that's being done right now for the rebuilding of the third temple that will be in the city of Jerusalem. The temple, not Ezekiel's temple, although most of the religious Jews in Israel, ones that we frequently interview, both for video, for television, and for radio, they are using the description of Ezekiel's temple and the building of this next temple as they study that. The Temple Institute people, Rabbi Chaim Richman, Rabbi Yehuda Glick, and all that they're doing. Tonight I'll be taking a look with the folks here in Marietta about what's been done in the rebuilding of this temple. This temple that will stand during a tribulation period, this temple that the Antichrist will go into and desecrate midway through the tribulation period. Daniel chapter 9, Revelation talks about this aspect of walking in and stopping the sacrifices that are taking place. So these are all aspects of what we'll be doing. Tonight I'll be interviewing or showing interviews that we did with some of the major players, some of the men that are involved with the rebuilding of the temple, the ones that taken charge of the rebuilding of the utensils, the outfits, the high priest, the garments for the high priest. I'll actually be interviewing a man that was fitted with the first garment for the high priest, Rabbi Nachman Kahana. And we'll be showing those updates tonight. We'll be showing the first sacrifice of a lamb in 2,000 years in the city of Jerusalem. We'll show that, although it had no importance. They made sure of that, but they wanted to go through that process. And we did this when we were working with the team from Day of Discovery. We went and videotaped this sacrifice of a lamb and the process in which they go through. And again, if you've listened to our programs, you've listened to what we have talked about on our weekend radio programs and our news reports, we're always reporting that the religious Jews are involved in these practices. They have men that are studying the priestly duties. These men are involved with going through these so that when they do have a temple and there is something in place. In fact, they're rebuilding an altar so that they can practice and they'll know exactly what to do once they have this temple rebuilt. Now, of course, we know that this temple has nothing to do with us or no benefit that is derived except for the fact that as Christians, we understand that that temple will need to be in the city of Jerusalem, that that temple will need to be built, and that the Antichrist will walk in midway through the tribulation period. Well, if they are this close that they are right now in Israel to rebuild a temple, how close are we to the rapture of the church? So it's very interesting as we look at all of these things. Again, all of these ideas and what we are teaching is only to encourage us to be about the Lord's work, to do what He has called us to do and asked us to do as we are involved in our lives of living on this earth. Very interesting. We were talking about what is our main responsibility? Our main responsibility in everything that we do is to bring glory and honor to God in all that we do, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And those are the keys to live in a victorious Christian life. And then also, as we study God's word and we develop that relationship, a personal relationship, as he speaks to us through his word, through Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22 to verse 21, that whole book that he has given to us is the way that he communicates with us, tells us how to live our lives, how to and then how to prepare for the future, to be aware of what's taking place so that we know. We're making decisions every single day that will affect us for all of eternity and affect those around us. And so we must know, I mean, and this is something that we've talked about before, 30% of God's word is Bible prophecy about future events to come. And if there's, if God placed that much of an importance on it, that in his word that he gave us, the way that he communicates, 30% of it is about future events to come, then how much more important that should that be to us? So many times today we have taken Bible prophecy and we put it on a shelf, either because it's too complicated to understand, it's something that that doesn't appeal to us. We don't like the judgment, the doom and gloom that it seems to say to us as we read it. This tragedy that's going to take place, these judgments that are going to take place on the earth. Well, if you know anything about Bible prophecy. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, and when it's talking about the rapture, the previous verses talk about the rapture, this event of the rapture taking place. And I always like that phrase, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are to be comforted. And it gives us confidence to know that the prophecies that have been predicted in God's word, there were over 1,000 of them, 500 of those came true exactly as God said that they were, that they would do. And there are 500 remaining Bible prophecies left. And we have the confidence that those 500 happened exactly as he said that they would. We know that the second 500 are going to come true as exactly as they were prophesied. And that's why we understand, and that's why we study Bible prophecy. And really, it's not very complicated. I know that people seem to make it complicated. There are different ways for interpreting Bible prophecy, and we happen to look at Bible prophecy. We look at a rapture, which is going to be a pre-tribulation event, a premillennial event. We look at it from a dispensationalist point of view, realizing that Israel still has a place in God's plan, that Israel has not been replaced. These four covenants that God made with the Jewish people in the Old Testament. He said that these are covenants that he made with these people, the Jewish people, forever. That when he says forever, that's what it means, forever. Ha Olam is the name of God that means the eternal God, forever. And so when he made the Abrahamic covenant and the land covenant, the land that he promised to them, today they only have 10% of that land. In the future, their land, the borders of the land of Israel, from about 35 different portions of Scripture in God's Word in the Old Testament, that land will go all the way from the Tigris and the Euphrates River and in present-day Iraq all the way to the Nile and take in 3/4 of Saudi Arabia. Take in all of Syria and Lebanon. So, you know, maybe you might understand some of the conflict that's going on in the Mideast today is that the Arab world, particularly the Muslims, understand that the Jews, they read the Old Testament. They understand what's going to take place, and they know that this conflict is coming. And therefore, that's why there's such a strong unity starting to take place in these countries, in our lifetime, as the Muslims are stepping into countries that are prophesied in Ezekiel 38, and their cry from President Ahmadinejad in Iran, He is saying that Israel needs to be wiped off the face of the earth. Well, as we read Bible prophecy, we understand that that's not going to take place. But it's really easy for us to see and to understand these covenants that were made with the Jewish people and the promises that are made to them, and also the promises that are made to the Christians, that if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you will be taken at the rapture of the church when it takes place. But Israel still has a role in God's plan, and all that we do, and we take God's word literally, and we understand that our role on this earth is to bring glory and honor to God. So those are the things that we're teaching this week. We're having a great time here. Pastor Gene Farrell has been great. He's looked out for me. He's watched over. We're here in this area. He's had this vision of bringing a prophecy teacher in. And although he has taught through Bible prophecy, we agree on a lot of the aspects of it and the teaching of it, he has a copy of Dad's book, Revelation of Chronology. Bringing somebody like me in only helps his ministry here as he ministers with his people. Very interesting, as I have had the time to spend and talk with Pastor Farrell over these couple of days. He's telling me, you know, it's very interesting how pastors nowadays, as he is going out and doing the responsibility of the church, as he does his duties, what he feels that he needs to do. He says, you know, I go to hospitals. He said, I don't ever see any other pastors in the hospitals visiting people. I don't ever see any pastors going door to door anymore. You know, and I had to stop and think about it. He's absolutely right. You know, it's an encouragement to me to see Pastor Gene and his wife as they are involved in their church, as they're meeting the needs of people, they're educating the body of Christ, they're involved in evangelization, they're going and meeting and taking the gospel to the people that need it. Not just building these big, beautiful churches and having all this, and there's nothing wrong with a big, beautiful church. But sometimes we feel like if we build the biggest, beautiful church and we have the best music in town, people are going to walk through those doors and want to receive and hear the gospel message. Well, that's not always the case, and quite frequently it's often not the case. We need to take our gospel message. We need to take the message of salvation to the sick and the needy and the people that need it and the places where they need it. So let me encourage you, pastors, you youth workers, you lay people that still have this vision of taking God's word and being involved in evangelism, leading souls to the Lord, taking them to repentance and helping them understand that, you know, without accepting Christ and calling upon Jesus Christ to save them and be their Savior and realizing that He died on the cross for their sins, that there is no other way to heaven. They can't work their way to heaven. Just by attending church doesn't give them access to the heavenlies. They have to admit that they are a sinner. They have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and they have to confess their sins and call out to Him. And so let me encourage all of you. I've been encouraged this week by Pastor Gene and his church as I've been here trying to encourage them by teaching Bible prophecy. Well, we've got a couple of questions here, so let's get to some of those questions this week since this is Prophecy Q&A. And I'm so sorry. We've had so many that come in, and sometimes it's really hard to get to all of them. I'm going to try to go through a couple of these pretty quick for you. Sandra Richards sends in one. She says, hi, thank you so much for all the work that you do. And she sent us an article about the Turkish officers take command of the Syrian rebel brigades. North Israel is on alert. And we're watching that daily. Said, I believe this article, this situation is biblically significant regarding where the Antichrist is about to rise from. I believe the bride and the church will have been raptured when this is revealed. However, I think that this is likely a big clue. Well, I agree with you, Sandra, that the bride, the church, will be out of here when the Antichrist is revealed. But I believe, and according to Daniel chapter 9, that the Antichrist will come out of the Gentile world and will come out of the revived Roman Empire. And so if you study Daniel chapter 9, you'll get an understanding of that. You'll get a significant key as to where the Antichrist will be coming from. It says the the people of the prince that shall come that will destroy the temple. Of course, the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And so the prince of those people, they would be Romans. So he would be coming out of the revived Roman Empire or the Gentile world. Looking back at Gentile world powers that came into being in the visions in the book of Daniel, chapter 2 by Nebuchadnezzar, and then also Daniel had the same vision about these Gentile world powers that came to be. So thank you, Sandra. Thank you for keeping an eye out, for studying, for keeping a look on things, and thank you for your note that you sent in to us here at Prophecy Q&A. Chantal sends in a question to us. She says, "Hello, Mr. DeYoung. I recently heard about the mysterious sounds, booms, trumpets beginning that are happening around the world, and I'm very intrigued. I know as a Christian that God is behind that, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you, and God bless you." Well, Chantal, I have heard about these mysterious sounds, booms and trumpets. I don't know where they come from. We haven't really done any investigation into it. I'm not sure that they are from God, although I do think that some of the mysterious sounds and booms are evidence that the earth is going through some sort of process, and there could be many things that have to do with it. I'm not sure about the trumpet sounds that are taking place. I have to go back to Scripture, to God's Word. I don't see anything in Scripture that talks about anything like this happening on the earth. So to answer your question, we don't know where those are coming from or what those are. There's some geologists that have come up with some interesting thoughts on it. There, scientists that have given their opinion, but I think that's just it. It's their opinions. Nobody really knows what they are. So I don't know what to tell you, Chantal, but keep looking at God's Word. Let God's Word be your guide as to what these are. And I don't see anything in Bible prophecy. And if you find something, Chantal, make sure you send that in to us so that we can take a look at it for ourselves. Barbara Spencer sends in a question. She says, "Thoroughly enjoyed Sound the Trumpets and the insight it provided. On page 69, you bring up the question, are Jews and Arabs cousins? And go on to explain that they are not. How does Ishmael fit in with this reasoning? He was the half-brother to Isaac and, as I am told, is the father of the Egyptian nation. If you could set me straight, I would appreciate it. God bless your much-needed ministry in these days of strong replacement theology." Well, Barbara, thank you. Let me ask you a question. You said that you were told that Ishmael was the father of the Egyptian nation. Well, if you look back, Hagar, who was the mother of Ishmael, was the Egyptian handmaiden. So it would be very hard for Ishmael to father the Egyptian nation when his mother was already an Egyptian handmaiden. And if you could go back through, you could take a look. The Muslims believe that Abraham offered Ishmael on the top of Mount Moriah instead of offering Isaac. Isaac and Ishmael had their roles. Ishmael was sent to a place. He took his 12 sons. He had 12 sons with him. And Ishmael was sent to a place where they became the Ishmaelites. That is present-day Saudi Arabia. So the answer to your question that Ishmael is the father of Islam, of the Muslim world. Muhammad started the religion of Islam in Saudi Arabia. I think it was in the 7th century he started this. He received the writings as it goes. And I'm not a huge student of the Quran or of the Islamic religion, but I do know that this is where Ishmael went. That's the question of are the Jews and the Arabs cousins? Now, Jacob and Esau, where if you want to trace the bloodline, Esau is a direct, is the father of the Palestinians. And on our video, Esau to the Palestinians, we trace that lineage all the way from Esau as he left and went to Edom, there where Petra is today. From there, the Edomites became the Idumeans, one of the couple of the famous Edomites and the Idumeans that you would remember, of course, Haman, the Agagite, Agag was a grandson of Esau. Then Herod the Edomian, when the Edomites left Petra, they went to southern part, to the Negev aspect of Israel, and from there they became the Edomians, the Hellenized form of Edomites. Herod the Great was one, and then we trace that lineage all the way up through to where the Palestinians of today are the direct descendants of Esau. Thank you for sending in that question to us. Tommy Robinson sends in a question. Revelation 9:13-21 is talking about World War III. And will this war that's going to kill one-third of mankind happen before the tribulation? I heard a man online say the other day that things were lining up where it could happen this year, and if not, in the next few years, but that it would happen before the tribulation period. Tommy, as we take a look at Bible prophecy, as we understand it, there are no other prophecies to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. Of course, as you look at the timeline, you have the rapture as the next event on God's calendar. Then you have the seven-year period of the tribulation. That starts in Revelation chapter 6 with the first man on a white horse that's unleashed, which I talked about earlier in this program. That's when the tribulation, and the tribulation starts when the Antichrist confirms a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. All the way back, that prophecy is in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27. So anything that happens after 6:1, this is all the tribulation period. Of course, the rapture is talked about in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The rest of chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about what we will be doing. We'll be transported immediately to the throne room of God. Judgment seat of Christ will take place, where we will give an account for how we lived our lives as Christians. So in Revelation chapter 9 that you're talking about, no, it's not going to happen. It could happen this year. I don't think it will take place that fast, but I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church happening in the next moment, and the next at any moment it could happen. And if that were the case, then yes, there were some things that would have to happen quickly, but the rapture of the church will take place before the tribulation, and there are no other prophecies to be fulfilled. Thank you, Tommy, for sending that question in to us. We get another question from Miguel Perez. Thank you for your devotional. And you know, we have so many people that get our devotions. They'll send a question with the devotional, and we appreciate that. But it says, thank you for your devotional, and I would like to ask your help. Help me to understand that the Muslims descend from Ishmael and not from Esau. Well, Miguel, I just answered that question earlier. You could take a look at it and listen to it, and hopefully that will help you understand where the Islamic world came from, who are the descendants of Ishmael. Curtis Cooper sends in a message. He says, the more my spirit warns Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ in our area about the things happening and coming up, the more I'm accused of reading the wrong Bible and that it's causing fear in the hearts and minds of many. Curtis, I would say keep on keeping on, brother. I'm reminded of what the scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This does give us the hope. We have the hope within. We're looking for this blessed return of Jesus Christ. This is not the spirit of fear. Unfortunately, that message is being spread and even taken on in churches today where they don't even want to talk about Bible prophecy. It's not a feel-good message, but it should be. It should give us confidence. It should motivate us to be about the Lord's work. So, Curtis, let me just give you, without reading your whole message, and I appreciate your message that you sent in to us, let me just give you a word of encouragement. Keep going, brother. Keep doing what you're doing, and we will we'll encourage one another as we try to keep sharing this message about what's taking place in our world today. Here's a great name from and a message from a person by the name of Timothy Miracle that has come in. I'm sure that's his name, his email address, but I like that, Timothy Miracle. And his question is, how does the chip implant that President Obama and his administration is implementing for everyone to have soon tie in with the mark of the beast? And should Christians refuse it? Well, that's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast does not come into play until the tribulation period, and with the rapture coming, we'll be out of here. So don't. There's no fear in the fact that this would be the mark of the beast. Now the fear would be: are you letting the government monitor everything that you do in your life, and should you take that? Should you refuse it? I know that in Texas we have schools that are implementing putting these chips in their and student ID cards, and there's been a famous case where one girl has resisted that on the grounds of her religion. Personally, I truly believe that God is bigger than all of this. I'm not sure whether I would. Somebody had told me the other day that they're going to start putting chips in babies. And I haven't seen this. I'm sure it's out there, and maybe I just missed it. And I'm not sure how I would feel about that as a parent. I seem to think that I would not want that. And I'm not sure what the government is going to do to people that don't. How they're going to implement this, I don't know, Timothy. But it's not the mark of the beast. It might be something that the mark of the beast uses, but that's what the Antichrist does, and that will happen after the rapture of the church. So, Timothy, at this point in time, you don't have to worry about it. And if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you will be caught up in the rapture when the shout in the heaven takes place, you won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. Karen Henderson's, could you tell me a reliable source for a map of the biblical borders of the land given to the Jews? Thank you. Our family appreciates your ministry. The Hendersons. Well, Karen, there are several, and I know that one that I often use is called Rose Publications. I'm giving them free advertising, but really, go to the internet, Google Rose, R-O-S-E, Publications. They have some great maps and maps of the Bible and the borders. Go look and search in their map section, and you will find a map. You can get it in a download for your computer. You can get it, I think you can get it in a PowerPoint. Their maps, you can buy the book, you can buy pamphlets that will give you the reliable source, a resource for the border of the biblical borders of Israel. Thank you, Karen, and thank you for the encouragement about your family appreciating my family's ministry. Rami Bloomfield sends in a question, a personal one on my account. Hello, I was wondering if you have a church in San Antonio, Texas. I hear you talk about San Antonio from time to time. Yes, Rainey, we had been a part of a church for a long time, Trinity. My wife and I were then involved in helping a church on the south side of San Antonio, working down there, helping the church get to a point where they could carry on and do what they needed to do. It was great. I love teaching. It was a perfect opportunity for me to teach and to be a part of that. But now we're attending a church called Northeast Bible Church, and it's in Garden Ridge, just outside of San Antonio, outside of our town of where we live in church. So we are attending there, and that's where we go, and that's our church. So thank you for your question, Rami. Sure, hope that helps you out. And this, and we'll close out with this last one from Brenda Angel as she sends in. She said, I just attended your prophecy conference at Liberty Baptist Church in St. Petersburg. Where does Ishmael fit into the end times? In Genesis 17:20, where he will beget 12 princes and he would make a great nation. I understand Esau would be the head of a great nation as well. Apparently Esau married a daughter of Ishmael. I just found that in Scripture. Amazing how it all fits together. I so enjoyed the conference myself. I had many misunderstandings regarding end times, and I thought I was pretty well informed. You are simply incredible. God has blessed you with a great mind and a manner of putting Scripture verses together in such a way that makes logical sense, and you put it in such a way that is understandable to us. The things you said that I remember are etched in my mind, and believe it or not, I found the entire conference exhilarating. God bless you and Judy, and may you live many more years to bring the good news all over the world. Thank you so very much, Brenda. Well, thank you, Brenda, for that word of encouragement to my parents. My dad and I are both are out on the road and prophecy conferences. I do agree with you, Brenda. Dad has had a very special way of taking Bible prophecy and studying it and really making it very simplistic for us all to understand. It's not complicated. It really just is a matter of digging into God's word and seeing what he has to offer to you and what he does have to say about the end times. Unfortunately, so many of us really don't even pick up God's word. Oh yeah, we still remember the Bible stories from Sunday school when we were little kids as we were growing up. Maybe we might look into some of the easier chapters and things that are easy to understand. But really, it's just about as you get, and it's kind of like a relationship. And it's real, when you first meet someone, it's real easy to kind of stay on the surface and get to know them with very simple stories. But when you really start to get to know somebody, you find out about the inner workings and their life stories and their testimonies and things like that. And that's like studying God's word. The more you get to know God and his word, the more you'll be able to understand. Sometimes it's hard to understand if you just kind of read over it and you haven't really studied it. Well, Bible prophecy is fairly simple to understand, and hopefully with our trio of triplets that I started out with today, that will help you as you understand and you take a look at God's word. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. Please pray for us here in Marietta, Ohio, as I'm speaking here tonight. Cold weather. I know that we've had some storms go up and down the East Coast, and we want to pray for all of those people that were touched by the storms. Pray for churches, and we'll be praying for the pastors this Sunday of all the churches in America, around the world, and pray for the pastor that's being held in prison in Iran. We'll keep him in prayer. There are many. We are not. We are really living in the last days. In fact, you know, as I say, I like to say, we're not living in the last days anymore or the last minutes. We're living in the last seconds. And with everything that I see in God's word, there's nothing more left for us to say except let's keep looking up until.